Welcome tonight to our evening service here in Toronto, Canada. Happy that you're able to join with us tonight. Want to commence our service from our own hymn book, number 46, O Worship the King. Let's praise God now together. Let's still our hearts now, please, before the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask Him to bless our time of worship tonight. Our loving God and our eternal Father, as we begin our evening service here, once more we are very conscious of our need of the help of the Spirit of God to direct us in our praying. Lord, to help us in our reading of the Scripture, of opening the Word of truth and life, and having it presented clearly and unmistakably. Lord, to this end, I stand in need of your help tonight. We do not want to go through the motions of church. Lord, we don't want to make pretense. We desire earnestly that our hearts would be on the altar of sacrifice for service for you. Lord, we pray that we would be empty vessels, yet filled with the power of God, being made useful, Lord, in your kingdom and service and work. Father, as we were thinking this morning in the service about that precious portion from Matthew, and how that the little things that we are able to do to our brothers and sisters and for them is ultimately, Lord, for your glory and honor. And I pray that we will be made useful to encourage one another, to build up the saints, Lord, to bear the burdens one of another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Dear Lord, as we come tonight to start our service, it is with a desire to worship our King, to worship our Lord and Savior. And though we are but frail as dust, feeble, Lord, we cannot depend on the arm of flesh to carry us through. We need to know the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be borne out through us every day, at every time, so that we are able to worship the King in spirit and in truth. Lord, fill us, we pray, every day with the joy and the peace and the blessing of God. For when we think about the great words that Jesus spoke, come into the kingdom prepared by our Father from before the foundation of the world. What a wonder, what a tremendous blessing that we have as children of the Most High God. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that where there are hurting, wounded hearts, that you would pour in the oil of joy for mourning. Where there are those who are grieving because of lost loved ones, and the pain is still very real, and the cut is deep to the heart, O God, we pray that you would surround those with your love. We think of those who are and have been widowed, and they bear also, Lord, a heavy weight. I pray your blessing would be upon them. And that's, Lord, not even to begin to ask about those who have physical needs. We pray for all the sick ones in our fellowship, those that we know directly and those we come in contact with by a family connection. Lord, help, we pray, and bless them. We think of those who have been suffering recently because of COVID. Lord, supply their need. Bring them back to health and strength tonight. We pray for our brother Henry Lee in hospital now, that you would comfort him and bless him. And we pray also for Kathy, that you would help her at home and remember their whole family. Lord, just undertake in a very special way for all of these ones who have needs. We ask, Lord, also for our school, this ministry that has been put into our hands. And we pray, Father, that you would watch over and protect every detail of our ministry. Supply our needs. Lord, we are a faith ministry. And we pray that every single area where we have need, that it would be abundantly supplied. And most of all, that our school would be a school of Christ, where the young people, the children, would learn the ways of the Lord, and it would be ingrained in their very heart and mind that they would come to meet the Savior in our school. And their lives would be dedicated to Christ. Lord, ever watch over those who would come into the school. We pray for every staff member. You would bless them and direct us in all of those areas of acquiring staff members. And the right students would be brought to us. Lord, hear this, our prayer. We think of our outreach, and I know it's limited, Lord, in so many ways. We cannot even hand out gospel tracts these days, really. So we pray that our testimony, our witness, would be bright, that people would see our faces, our eyes, and they would know that we are in touch with God. Bless the electronic sign that scrolls the Scriptures 24 hours a day outside our building. And Lord, make use of us, we pray, in ways that we may not have considered before. But use us, Lord, as evangelists. And through our ministry, help us to lead sinners to Jesus. Make use of us, Lord, we pray, in our time. Again, we ask for the needs of our churches that don't have ministers at this moment. Bless them. We pray, Father, for those who are on the mission field. We think of the Schultz family tonight in the Czech Republic. We ask for your blessing to be upon them. You would encourage them, be near them. Remember in Liberia, Jamaica, Mexico City, the Dominican Republic, and Lord, in many, many other places where thy word is going out. Encourage our hearts this evening and lift us up, Lord, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise, number 248, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sin. Turn, please, in your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 21. 2 Chronicles, chapter 21. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram had risen up the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and he slew all his brethren with the sword, divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David. And as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him. And he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Keep that portion open. We'll be reading some further verses a little bit later on in the service. I want to welcome you tonight to our service. We're happy that you've been able to tune in, and for the few people that are in our service tonight here in person, we want to welcome all of them as well. Let me remind you, please, of some important things for prayer and also of ministry this incoming week. We're very happy that Dr. Ruth Slade was in our service with us this morning. She was able to read out to the congregation a letter of thanks, a note of thanks that she had. She's been making some very good recovery, obviously, as she was here today from her surgery, and we thank God for that. Let's continue to hold up other folks who need the touch of God's hand on them, remembering our brother Sam McAnally tonight, praying for him, also for Mrs. Sushila. Her daughter Jasmine was in the service this morning with us today, and so we want to remember her, please, in prayer. And also, special prayer for Kathy and Henry Lee. Both Kathy and Henry have come down with COVID, and Henry more serious, and he has been in ICU for the last week or more, and so under some very difficult situations. And so do please pray for Henry at this time. He is making some small improvement and would ask you to remember him before the Lord. And there are other families. Remember Lori and David Bryant and their family also. And continue to pray for Jeff and Tammy and other ones that are connected with our school ministry that are suffering at this time. We hold them all up before God in prayer. We had a good time this afternoon at 4:50 for just about an hour with our session and board. And for our monthly time of prayer, we're seeking the Lord, continuing for Him to supply the need that we have for personnel in the church ministry and also in our school. And do continue to pray along with us. And then don't forget, please, on Wednesday night, We have our Bible study and prayer time, and that will be at 7:30 via Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, our regular services. We will be giving you an announcement as we're meeting with the session after the evening service tonight, and to let you know, to keep you posted on as soon as we know about opening up our church. We will be giving you an email notice if you're connected through our church or making an announcement on Wednesday night. Those are all the ministry announcements we have for you. We want to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 605, Dare to Stand. Let's turn again, please, to 2 Chronicles 21. We're going to read from verse 12 down to the end of this chapter. And there came a writing to him, that is Jehoram, from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, Because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but has walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hath made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians, that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we come now to the Word of God, we ask once more for help from heaven. I pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit that is so essential for every minister of the gospel in order to faithfully convey, to faithfully deliver, to faithfully expound the Word of the living God. Father, placed within our hands is a trust, a great trust. And I ask that I may be able to fulfill that trust tonight. Give hearing ears to everyone, either listening now to this service or who will listen at some later time. Make use, we pray, of all these forms of technology to glorify, to honor the holy name of Jesus, and that, Father, we might be able to see the kingdom of Christ extended in the sense of sinners being saved and the people who are your people, Lord, built up. Father, do a work tonight, we pray, as we ask in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen. The text that we want to make use of tonight as a center point would be number 12, verse 12 of chapter 21, though we will be referring to many other verses within the chapter. Elijah, being dead, yet being alive, he speaks. And I want to think about the judgment of God upon a man called Jehoram, a man who lived a wicked and a thankless life. And if you have been following our study of the life of Elisha, and also following our Lord's Day morning services, the Lord has been unfolding in front of us over and over again in these last number of weeks the subject of judgment. Now, friend, you cannot escape that. You cannot get away from it. And sometimes people might think, well, you're talking much about the subject of judgment in these last days. But I can tell you, my friend, it is being unfolded for us from the very study that the Lord has taken us through, and we are continuing in. And we don't want to avoid or steer away from the message that the Spirit is setting in front of us. So once more, as we think about the time clock running out, as we think about our days and our years advancing in front of us, as we realize that we don't have any more time being added to our slate, but every day that we live is a day march nearer to when we will stand before God in judgment. And so, friends, it's worthy to be thinking about these words and these thoughts. When we quote the words, "He being dead yet speaketh," it's taken from Hebrews chapter 11, and it circles around the life and the death of a man called Abel. Abel was slain by his brother Cain. And the Apostle Paul picks up for us, directed by the Spirit of God, in Hebrews 11, he uses the life of Abel and his death as a testimony, as something that is yet speaking on. And what does it mean when he said, "Abel being dead yet speaks"? It means that the testimony of this righteous man, the testimony of Abel, was a testimony both of his faith toward God and of his obedience into his word, and of the righteous life and worship that this man had. And he becomes a marker for us and for the generations of faithful people who will follow after him, of declaring, delivering faithfully the message of truth and life. And therefore, Abel, who was martyred for his faith, speaks on to us today. As a matter of fact, his righteous blood cried unto God against his murderer. And the righteous blood of all God's servants, it continues to speak to this very day. But it goes far beyond that. Because every generation down until the very end of time will have the witness of truth. Some of them are recorded for us in the Scripture to witness to men in time. But others are in heaven recorded there, and they will continue to witness for all eternity. The Scriptures speak to men, and some are recorded in glory. When considering the lives of other faithful men, be it Abraham or Moses or Samuel, and for that matter, every faithful prophet that's recorded in the Word of God, along with Elijah and Elisha that we have been studying, all of these, they speak beyond their life on earth. And the testimony that they give is one that's well worth paying close attention to. Now, the account that's before us tonight, and this is where I want to just join this together for us, comes from 2 Chronicles 21, and it takes us back to the life of Elijah. And you might be wondering, did I make a mistake to begin with? We're studying Elisha. We're studying the prophet that came after Elijah. But no, this is a very unusual portion we have here in front of us tonight. It's unusual for a number of ways, because in 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 12, it says, "And there came a writing to him, to the king of Judah, from Elijah the prophet." Wait a minute. Elijah the prophet, he's not here anymore. He was taken alive to glory. And he being absent from this earth now, in the day in which this was given, he being absent yet is speaking. What does all this mean? This writing that came from Elijah, was this some kind of a mysterious letter from heaven back down to earth? No, nothing of that type of mystery here. This is simply given to us as a communication that Elijah made while he was still on earth. And it was him being a prophet and prophesying about this very king, Jehoram, and what would become of him. It was a judgment predicted by the Lord. And perhaps it was written down by one of the sons of the prophets as Elijah dictated it, or else it was done from the memory of one of the prophets, and it was then brought at the right time before this particular king. Such a thing was not unusual, you know, for a prophet to speak about things in the future, because we just looked a few weeks ago about a similar situation that Elisha had when Hazael, when he was before him, and he predicted that Hazael would become king of Syria. And do you remember that Elisha began to weep in front of Hazael? And Hazael said, well, what are you crying for? And Elisha said to him, because I know the atrocities that you will do against Israel. And he was looking into the future and he saw what this man was going to do, the king of Syria. And so it should not strike us unusual that Elijah, years before, would have seen by God's direction into the future. And what we have here is an example of Elijah no longer on earth as a prophet, but his voice is echoing God's word, God's irrefutable, unchangeable word to a man who did not want to hear it, because it was a word of judgment. It again deals for us with the subject of the retribution of God on those who have not known or refused to know the Word of God, and have only rather despised it, or they have rejected it. They have used their energy in their life to openly work against everything that God states in His Word. And so we think of this man, Elijah, the faithful prophet that has gone to glory, and yet his word is still echoing through time, and it has found its target in the life of this king of Judah. Oh, friend, there are things that we all need to take heed of from this scripture tonight. We need to be warned that we cannot play fast and loose with God. But there is coming a day, my friend, a day of reckoning, a day of accounting. There's coming a day of judgment. The word for every unsaved person tonight is this: flee from the wrath that is to come. Because now is the day of salvation. I want you to think with me tonight about this man, Jehoram. Who he was, where he came from, his background. And that we might be able to understand the solemn message that God has for us tonight, as He has for every generation from the time of that man until now and to the end. God has given that to us in His Word. I want you to notice, please, in the first place tonight, consider the opportunities that were given to Jehoram. Consider the opportunities. Look at what it says in verse 12. The writing that came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father." Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father. What does that tell us about Jehoram? It tells us, my dear friends, that this man who had these opportunities, and the first opportunity that is given to us that Jehoram had, was a righteous heritage. A righteous heritage. David, we know from the Scripture, is given to us as a man who was after God's own heart. David had been taken from the sheepfold. He had been taken as a young boy, a young teenage boy, who had been serving his father's sheep. And he was taken from that circumstance right to the battlefield to be victorious over Goliath. And he moved from there to come as to part of the family in the palace of Saul, King Saul. These were stepping stones that God made use of in the life of young David. But I will say something to you, that this man Jehoram, he would have known about David's history. There is no doubt about that. He would have been brought up and taught as a young boy through all the Jewish customs and their histories. He would have been taught, "Jehoram, you are in the line of David, the man after God's own heart." And Elijah confirms this to him now by telling him, this is the very word, "Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father." Now don't misunderstand this. David was not his immediate father, but this term, father, is used in a very broad spectrum to mean grandfather, great-grandfather, someone who was in the line. And so Jehoram is in the very line of David, the man after God's own heart. And the hope that was found in every Jewish boy and family was to be taught Messiah was going to come through David. The deliverer, the hope of Israel, the one to bring salvation to the world, the Messiah. Jehoram was taught this in the righteous heritage that he had. Think of the Psalms of David that would be sung in the temple. At every time they went up to a feast, the songs that make up the Hallel of the Book of Praise, they would have been sung. Jehoram would have been a part of that. And on top of all this, he had the added blessing of a godly father immediately and a godly grandfather. Who was the father of Jehoram but the righteous Jehoshaphat? And as you read through the account of both Kings and Chronicles, yes, Jehoshaphat was not a man without his faults. He was not a man without times of being corrected, but that goes for all of us. But the summary of Scripture for Jehoshaphat is that he was a righteous man who did that which was right in the eyes of God. What a testimony. You long to have a testimony like that, my friend. if you're a believer. You'd want to be known as a man who did that which was right in the eyes of God. And Jehoshaphat, his father, had that testimony. But it went this time in close connection, because Asa was also declared for us as being a man who loved the Lord, and a man who served God, and also a man who did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. We could say that both Jehoshaphat and Asa, they were men who had hearts for God. And very similar to their father David, a heart like the Lord. Friend, you think of the solemnity of this. For this man, Jehoram, he had observed the deliverances of God that he gave to his own father, the deliverances against the enemies of Judah that were all around. And certainly he would have heard of the spiritual and the practical victories of Asa, his grandfather, and that their lives pleased the God with whom they worshipped. And when they had operated and had accomplished and done that which was right before the Lord, so God marked them accordingly. He was brought up, this man, around the Scriptures. We could say that he was taught the Word of God from his infancy. Being a child, he had known the Holy Scriptures, taught them from his youthful days. You know, the Bible tells us that even a child is known by his doings. Whatever was the attitude or the reaction of Jehoram as a child or in his youthful years, he showed what was really in his heart and how he viewed the spiritual teaching and the biblical influence of his upbringing. He began to show what was really in his heart. He was a man who had a righteous heritage. But there's something else that we have here with this person. He had great privileges in his life. He was given the kingdom. I want you to notice verse 3. It says, "And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things, with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram, because he was his firstborn." And so all the other sons of Jehoshaphat gave to them benefits: gold, silver, precious things, and cities for them to be rulers over. But he singled out Jehoram because he was his firstborn son, that he would have the kingdom. I say to you, my friends, that the benefits that this man had, the tremendous privileges within his life, being the firstborn, therefore he would receive these spiritual blessings, and the firstborn in Israel belonged unto the Lord, devoted to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord. He had inheritance rights. He was given privilege in the family. And he had the responsibility also of showing that leadership to his siblings. All of these things, though, my friends, he abused in order to satisfy his greed and his lust for power. unbeliever tonight, what opportunities and privileges has God granted to you? So much mercy, so much grace, that if you stopped to add it all up, you would have an embarrassment of riches at your disposal from what God has already granted you. And yet tonight, am I talking to someone and you have despised your upbringing? Have you despised your birthright? Have you despised all of the blessings and benefits that God has given to you so freely? Think of it, my friend, tonight. And beware, oh, beware, that you do not cast away those blessings as if they were meaningless to you, in order that you might grasp after all this world has to offer. For you will be disappointed. No, but much more than that. Much worse than that, actually. So you consider the opportunities that were given to Jehoram. And number two tonight, his flagrant rejection of the light. His flagrant rejection of the light. There's a saying that goes, you really never know a man until he has power. You never really know a man until he has power. And though we don't know how Jehoram really responded in all of these youthful days growing up, but did he put on a good show? Did he put on a nice presentation for his dad? Did he want to be sure that he wouldn't miss out on receiving the great benefit and blessing of being the firstborn? Because if he had have showed himself an absolute rebel to begin with, surely Jehoshaphat would have done something different. You know, it's very easy to put on a mask. It's very easy to live in a charade, to put on a good presentation in front of people. But in your heart, in the heart, is where things are being worked out. And Jehoram was working things out in his heart. And war was inside of him. He turned from the light that he had received. He turned, my friend, from the right ways of his fathers. And he spit upon the righteous upbringing that he had, and he cunningly moved with premeditation in his heart to eliminate any threat to the throne, and he murdered all his brothers. Listen to verse 4. And when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. The spirit of Cain was in the heart of this man. Cain, who was the first murderer. Cain, who was the man who presented himself as being very righteous and holy, presenting his own offering to God, but not the offering God had required of him. And so when Cain had presented that offering, and when it was rejected, he then vented his anger against God and men, against his own brother, struck him and killed him, the first murderer. That spirit of Cain has continued on down through the generations, right up until where it lands squarely upon this guy, Jehoram. Look at verse 6. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. He followed after the house of Ahab. Now his memory was not that bad. Jehu, who he would have known as the king of Israel, had just annihilated the house of Ahab. Jehu had been risen up by the Lord as a sword of judgment against the house of that wicked man. And yet we find that this son of Jehoshaphat, a king of Judah, is now going to mimic. He's going to take on the image of what he looked out and saw was desirable, perhaps cool. He's going to be like Ahab, the great king of Israel. And he's also going to help himself by taking a daughter of Ahab to be his wife. You know, my friend, it's bad enough to have a man who is burning wildly in the way of destruction. But when an evil wife is stoking the fire, such a duo, I say to you, is twice determined to destroy everything in their pathway. He led the people of Judah totally against God. Verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. Do you know that the other character that we have in the history is Balaam, the false prophet, who used the women of Moab to entice the Israeli men to commit fornication in the physical way? But here we have Jehoram doing even worse, because this is spiritual fornication. He was leading these people to worship the idols and the be subject unto Baal. Up to now, my friend, you may have despised your birthright, mocked the things that you were brought up to revere. You spurned them. But know this and beware. For whatsoever a person sows, that they will also reap. Because God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. And this man, who had so many opportunities given to him of a righteous heritage, of a righteous father and grandfather, of tremendous privileges in this life, and he amassed all of those things into his wicked heart, and he bent them and twisted them into a flagrant rejection of the light. Beware, my dear friend, that you are not found in that category of despising that which has been so kindly and graciously and mercifully given to you. Brought up in a God-fearing home, maybe even educated in Whitfield, a Christian school, maybe been brought up in a good homeschooling environment. Oh, my dear friend, think again of where you're headed and of the outcome of your actions. Because you cannot blame someone else for your current situation. Please notice in the third place tonight, the wages of his sin paid in full. The wages of his sin paid in full. Look at verse number 12 and 13 again, please. These are the words that came directly from Elijah to this man. Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but hath walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and hath made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than you. Therefore, unrest and revolt will be in the land. In verse 8, we're told that in his days the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah, and they made themselves a king. We're told also in verse 10, the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his father. So there was unrest, instability in the land. And another judgment that was going to fall out on this man was that his family would suffer and be taken captive. Verse 14 tells us about that. Behold, with a great plague, the Lord will smite thy people and thy children, thy wives and thy goods. And then note verse 17, because the Arabians broke in, and they came into Judah, and they break it up, and they carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left unto him, save Jehoahaz, his youngest. In verse 14 and 17, we're told that he had the loss of all his goods. So there was unrest and revolt in the land. His family was completely decimated, and he lost all his goods. What else could happen? Oh, we're not done yet, Jehoram. The Lord's not done yet here. We're told in verse 15 that his body, that he would be struck with an incurable disease in his bowels, and that one day they would fall out of him. 2 years of suffering this man endured, 2 years of horrible suffering until his death. This man had it all. He had a godly upbringing, he had opportunity, he had position, he had wealth, he had power, he had promised blessing from God, he had the hope of eternal life, and he threw it all away. He threw it all away. He despised his birthright. He chose rather the wages of unrighteousness, and now he is in the place of hell, along with Balaam, along with Cain, and every other wicked despiser of truth. Friends, these are solemn words. These are haunting words. Let them sink down into your soul, unbeliever, tonight. Do not allow this night to go out into eternity before you get on your face before God and cry out to Him for mercy. The Word of God has been faithfully given by His servants so that there is no excuse possible. Elijah was such a man in his day, and every faithful preacher or evangelist or missionary or whatever personal worker that has presented the gospel of truth is a witness against you today. Consider, my friend, the opportunities that you have been given. Do not despise the gospel message of free salvation. Repent tonight and flee to Christ while you have time. Yes, ask yourself the question, do I have the spirit of Jehoram or do I have the spirit of Elijah in my heart tonight? Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our service is almost over and we are before the Lord in prayer now, friend, the only answer to your life need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer. And if you repent of your sin and call upon the Lord, He will save you. He has made that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's His word. You bow your head and your heart now, young person, boy, girl, senior, as you ask the Lord to come into your heart and life and change you. He will do that. He will answer that prayer. Don't delay. Don't put it off. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Father, I pray that when the voice of man is silent, the service is over, that you would not let this word depart from any heart. Lord, as we have been saved by matchless grace, we can think and realize and rejoice and give praise that we were saved from such a lost eternity. Not by anything, Lord, that we have done, but only by sovereign grace. And so today we know we have peace with God. And I ask that you would work deeply in every soul now. Answer our prayers, Lord, for the honor and for the praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.